Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Basra Samach. We are on the Mishnah on Nintes Amid Beis. Today's the last day of the third parak of Baba Basra. It's a long parak. It's started on Chav Ches. It goes now to Samach. Over 30 blad of Gemara. It's, I would argue, you don't have to argue. It's empirical. But it would seem like it's the longest in terms of dapim. It's the longest parak in Shas. The Mishnah is continuing from a discussion that we had yesterday. Lo yiftach adam chalosav lechatzar shufim. A person can't open up a window into the chatzar of his shufim, of his neighbors. The Gemara is going to be bothered by a very simple question. Why is the Mishnah here describing a chatzar shufim? Right, you can't open your window against anybody's property. So why specifically that of your of a joint chatzar, of a shared chatzar? So the Gemara is going to ask that question. Going to say an answer?
No, because he has a part of it.
Because
part of it is mine.
Okay, so we'll say. The Gemara is going to say. Okay, very good. So the Mishnah continues. Let's say you bought a house in a contiguous chatzar, meaning there are two chatzars next to one another, and so you have a house now, and you have a house in one chatzar, and you buy a house in the other chatzar. So what you cannot do is you can't open up this house into the original chatzar, even though you also have share in the original chatzar. But as we're going to see later on, the reason why you can't do so is because it's going to create more traffic, and as a general zoning prohibition, you can't create more traffic within a chatzar. The Gemara is going to be clear about this as well. Bana ali al gabe beisof. If you build a second floor on top of your house, lo yiftachen lechatzar shutfim. You can't open that up to a chatzar shutfim, meaning even though you already have a house, then you already opened up to this chatzar. But if you make some sort of annexation to your house, you can't open that up into the chatzar. Elim ratzah bonus ached lefnim mibeso ubona ali al gabe beso u post chalasoch beso. The Mishnah says what you can do is you can build a room, or you can build an aliyah, you can build a second floor, and you can open that up into your house. Now this seems to very simply contradict the previous statement of the Mishnah. So again, stay tuned. The Gemara is going to clarify all these points that we're learning together. Okay, we start off with the Gemara. The Gemara starts off, Mayir lechatzar shutfim afil lechatzar chaver nami. You can open up a window into your chatzar shutfim. The Gemara's question, as I foreshadowed back in the Mishnah, is of course you can. You know what you also can't do? You can't open up your window into anyone's chatzar. So the Gemara says, namilo. So let me buy comments. So the Gemara says, yeah, the Mishnah is actually giving us an chiddush and an additional chiddush as well. Let me buy the chatzar chaver delo. It goes without saying that you can't open up a window into somebody else's chatzar, giving you now visual trespass into somebody else's chatzar that you're not allowed to do. That's what's called hazakriya. Aval chatzar shutfim. But if it's your own chatzar, which you already have rights to, amar lei sof sof hakabaisit sinu minai bechatzar. So kamash malan. I'm sorry, bechatzar. So now, what am I telling the neighbors of my association, my chatzar? I'll say to them, look, I'm here already. So you already are prevented from doing public activities in the chatzar because you know I'm here already. So what now? I'm opening up another window into the chatzar. It's not a big deal. So kamash malan da amalei ade ina bechatzar hava biinetz tenu minach. Hashta afila ba'is nami biinetz tenu minach. Now the counter argument is: look, there's visual trespass, and then there's more visual trespass. So up until now, you're right. In other words, I couldn't go into the chatzar and do whatever I want because I know that it's a shared chatzar, and I know that I share it with you. But now that you have a window and it opens into the chatzar, there. So now I'm in the privacy of my own house, but now because you have visual trespass, not only on the chatzar, but also in my house as well, so then I have to be careful even in my own house. So it creates more hezek re'iyah, more visual trespass, and therefore it's I can block another person from opening it up. Tana Rabbanan, Gemara has a brisa. Ma'isa ba demechash pasach chalonav lechatzar shutfim. There's an incident where somebody opens up a window into the chatzar shutfim. Now Rabbi Shmuel says that, yeah, okay, good, very good, you created a chazaka. How'd you create a chazaka? So if you take a look at the Rashbam over here, the Rashbam is consistent, he's been saying this throughout the parak. Hechzata sarva la la'altar. Now Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that you create a chazaka immediately. So if you remember, we did this back in we were still back in the third parak, but Mem Aleph, we said that there are various Tanaim who say that a chazaka can be created immediately. In other words, if I do something befanav directly in front of the person and he doesn't protest, so that creates an immediate chazaka. But the Rashman points out in halacha kim, but that's not the halacha, but rather chazaka can only be created after 3 years. So over here, Rabbi Yishmael says that that chazaka was created. It certainly sounds like from the Rashbam, and the Rashbam has been saying this these last couple of dapim, that even if you build a window, and even though it creates a hezek riya, if the other person has not voiced dissent for those last 3 years, so then you can keep your window there. Now, well, you could make an argument, and some are sure to make the argument, the Rashbam clearly does not side like this, but you can make the argument, no, even after 3 years, if you have a window and I don't want a window, that's called hezek riya. And we had a statement that the Gemara made a number of times throughout this perek, which is ein chazaka lehezekin, that there is no chazaka when it comes to things that damage. So the Rashbam certainly gives the indication, I mean, he indicates it here, but he says it elsewhere a number of times, that even for windows, you can create a chazaka, a cheskas riya. Okay, so just a very interesting debate amongst the Rishonim, whether or not you can create a chazaka for a window and for hezek riya. Ba lifnei Rabbi Chiya. We're on the last line of Nentes Amud Beis, and they take the man in front of Rabbi Chiya. Amar Yagata Patachta, Yagav Esasam. And Rabbi Chiya says, "Look, you put a lot of work into making the window, but you open the window into a chatzer, and so now what you're going to do is you're going to close it." Okay, very good. In other words, you put the same amount of work into closing it. Once again, you didn't have a cheskas gemal shanim. The Rashbam here says it again, straightforward. You didn't have a cheskas gemal shanim, and therefore you have no right to close it. I'm sorry, you have no right to keep it open. You must close it. Now, we're on the top of Sam Chamad Aleph. V'listom l'altar ha'vichazaka. Oh, okay, fine. Amar Rav Nachman, thank you. Amar Rav Nachman, v'listom l'altar ha'vichazaka. So Rav Nachman says that to do a stima, to close it so immediately, so that is a chazaka. Now, what does that mean? So take a look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam gives the following shot in the Gemara. Im hichzik b'chalon gimel shanim b'chatzir ha'shutfim. So let's say you do a proper chazaka where you open the window into the chatzir, 3 years have gone, nobody protested. Uvach haver v'sasmo. Shabana kosel kenegdo. Now along comes a friend, and the friend says, enough is enough. Now I know I didn't protest for the last 3 years, and where have I been for the last 3 years? I don't know. But enough is enough. And now I'm building up a wall right opposite your window. Your window's looking to the chatzar. I've had enough. V'hu shasak la'altar havichazaka. Now the person who built the window, so we had absolutely no reply. And that silence is an acquiescence. An acquiescence to the fact that, yes, this window's been here for over 3 years. But you know what? I really shouldn't have been built it to begin with. I know I shouldn't have. So, and that's exactly how the Rashbam explains it. La alter havi chazaka lezeh sosem shelo yiftach od chaver ela bereshuso vecheskes gimel shanim shaya chalon pasuch eino klum. Yes, the window's been there for the last 3 years, but basically, by me building a wall right in front of your window, and by you not saying anything, it erases the last 3 years. Me'acher sheshasa kishesis mozeh. Because he was quiet when I blocked up his window, so it's as if the last 3 years was erased, and so therefore he no longer has a right to leave his window there. Okay. And I should have read the whole line. And the reason why, explains Rav Nachman, is because if somebody's going to be building a wall directly in front of a window where the light comes in, and he's not quiet, that's weird. In other words, the normal reaction would be, you better take that wall down immediately. You're right, you're screaming, and you don't say anything? That's strange. And the way that silence is interpreted is, you're right, I shouldn't have built a window here. And again, the way the Rashbam presents it is that even though he's been here for the last 3 years, his silence erases all that chazaka that was created. Okay. We're now talking about making new entrances into the chatzar. So again, the two chatzar are side by side. You have a house in the original chatzar, let's call that chatzar A. You bought a house in the new chatzar B. They are back to back to one another. And now what you want to do is you want to open up a door from your house in the chatzar B into chatzar A. So the Mishnah says you cannot do that. Now my time, and the Gemara explains, why not? Because basically now what you're doing is you're creating more traffic. more traffic in the chatzer is no good. Ema Sefer, the Gemara says, fine. Okay, so you tell me that you can't make more traffic, right? As I live and learn more, so every time you're talking about construction, not residential, but every time you're talking about construction, so they do traffic studies and they want to make sure that it doesn't increase the traffic. So basically, the Gemara clearly has a sensitivity to that. The Gemara is basically saying that any time that it's a chatzer, it's not a street, but still, any time that you're creating more traffic, so that's going to be a problem. The Gemara says, okay, but go back to the Mishnah. And let's remind each other what we learned back in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Ema seifa elei maratza bonasa cheder lifnim beiso bona aliyal gabe beiso." So what you're going to do is you're able to. The Mishnah says you're allowed to build a room in your house, and you can even build a second floor in your house. Now, if you're building an annexation, either another room or a second floor, clearly that's there to create more traffic. In other words, that's more people living in your house, that's more traffic. And the Gemara says exactly this point. Aren't you creating more traffic? So the Gemara says, well, no. Yes and no. I don't want to be so fundamental. Yes and no. Meaning, and this is the way the Rashbam presents it. What you're allowed to do with a house and a chatzer is that you're allowed to make more rooms in the house. You want to cut the house vertically and build a wall interior to the house. You want to cut the house horizontally, where, let's say, it was a high ceiling, and you want to cut the house horizontally, where now you're going to create a first floor and second floor, but you don't change the exterior of the house whatsoever. And yes, it's true, there are going to be more people living in the house if you do so, but that's perfectly within your right. You're justified to do so. The Rashbam actually says it a couple of times. You have the right to fill up your house with as many people as you want. There's no cap in terms of how many people can live in your house. And so therefore, yes, even though that's going to create more traffic, but that's totally within your right. However, once you're creating an annexation to the house, where you are actually building onto the house, right, more a second floor, an addition to the side. So once you're doing that, so that you don't have the right to do. That creates more traffic, and that you don't have the right to do so. Now, I'm guessing, by the way, the Gemara doesn't go over this point. Can you go over to the other residents of the chatzer? Can you ask for their permission? Can they be mochel? And I assume the answer is yes, although, again, I don't know. I assume the answer is yes, but, in other words, as it stands right now, that's what you're not allowed to do. So you can create more rooms interior to your house that you have every right to do, but to make an addition, either a second floor or a room to the side of the house, and, you know, changing the footprint of the house, that you're not allowed to do. Okay, so it's coming up. It's on its way. Lo yiftach adam lechatzer ashud fehem pesach keneged pesach v'chalon keneged chalon. A person is not allowed to make into his chatzer, into a shared chatzer, and neither a door opposite somebody else's door. Okay, so right. I know in the townhouses we used to live in Kew Garden Hill. So that's exactly how the buildings were constructed. Right. But the Mishnah says that you should be careful about this. You should not do this. So you should not have a door facing another door. You should not have a window facing another window. Haya katan lo yasenu gadol. If let's say it was small, meaning either the window or the door, you can't make it bigger. Echa lo yasenu shtayim. If it was one, you can't convert into two. Ava posechu l'rishos harabim pesach keneged pesach v'chalon keneged chalon. However, if your home opens up into the rishos harabim, and there is another house on the other side of the rishos harabim, here there's no problem. Here, your door can open up opposite somebody else's door. And the Gemara is going to give the svar, and the svar is very simple. Anyway, you're facing the Rishus HaRabim. Anyway, every single time you open your house, there's going to be people standing in front. So there's no longer any kind of intrusion on your privacy, just because the person on the other side of the street, his door is facing you, it really is not going to offend you or create any more hezek riyah. You're already opened up into the Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara is going to make that point. Haya katan ose oso gadol, ve'echad ose oso shnayim. And as long as your house is facing the Rishos HaRabim, so then, again, there's no problem of hezek riyah. You can make the house or the window, you can make the door or the window bigger. You can turn it from one into two. There's no problem. Anyway, you're facing the Rishos HaRabim. We are jumping right into the Gemara Minahani Mili. How do I know that? outside of the last part of the Mishnah where my house is facing Rosh Hashanah, if we're in a courtyard, my door cannot face directly up opposite another person's door. So the Gemara gives an explanation. So Bilam lifted his eyes and he saw, meaning we're going to Parshas Balak. And in Parshas Balak, we know Balak tried to hire Bilam to curse the Jewish people, and he told them, I'm not going to, I can't, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I can only say that which the Kadosh Baruch Hu tells me to say, and, you know, a lot of back and forth, and finally he does go, but when he looks, he actually gives a bracha to the Shvatim. And in doing such, one of the brachas that he gives is Matovo Alach Yisrael. And the Gemara, it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't quote that pasuk, the Rashbam will. I'll show you the Rashbam in just a moment. But anyway, Ma Ra'a, what did Bilam see? Ra'a She'ein Pischei O'alayim Mechuvanim Zelazeh. He noticed that the Jewish people, right, approximate 2 million population were walking through the desert, and meanwhile, a lot of housing, I mean, you know, tents really, but the doorways never aligned with one another. Nobody's door was facing somebody else's door directly. So Amaruya Halo Shakishra Lem Shekhinah, and his response is, okay, the Jewish people are fit where the Shekhinah can dwell upon the Jewish people. Okay, he understood. Now, where do we see that in the Psukim? So I told you the Rashbam. The Rashbam. He writes, Vayaris Yisrael Shochein. So, the first Rashbam of the Gemara. Ra Hech Shochnin, Ulafichach Amar Matova O Alecha Yaakov. Right, that's what he said. He said that how good are the tents of Yaakov? She'ein pesche'o oleim u'chuvanim. U'machne Yisrael kechatzer ashur from dami. Now, as far as an analogy is concerned, Machne Yisrael is viewed like a chatzer ashur from the lohayi rishus rabim, ela b'machne, levia kedamrina b'mesecha Shabbos. There was a rishus rabim, but that was specifically Machne levia, not the rest of the encampment of the Jews in the desert. You have a small doorway, you can't make it bigger into the chatzer. Now, Savar Rami Bar Chama Lamimar Bar Dala Lulishve Bar Timne. Now, the Gemara has a Havamina, and that is as follows. That if the doorway is 4, I can't increase it to 8. Meaning to go 4 to 5 or 4 to 6 or even 4 to 7, that's fine. But I can't go 4 to 8. Why? Because Shakol Tamna B'chatzer, because as we learned earlier in the perek, earlier in the Masechta, going all the way back to the first perek, what you get in the chatzer is a shared property. But what you get are the 4 amos in front of your door. So however wide your door is, and then it juts out 4 amos into the chatzer. So, if your door was 4 and now you made it to 8, so you've doubled the size of how much you take in the chatzer. Ava bartat lishvei bar arba, but to go from 2 to 4 is not a big deal. Because if you have a 2 amma wide doorway, it's not that, it's very, very narrow door. But if your doorway is, it's not so bad actually, it's like about 4 feet. So if your doorway is 2 ammas, you're anyway going to get in front of your house 4 by 4 amas. 4 amas across, 4 amas jutting out. So by you increasing the doorway of your house from 2 to 4, so now that is not a big, it's not going to create any more private space for you in the chatzer, and he thinks therefore it should be okay. So Shapir Dami, so it would be fine. So Amalei Ravas, the Ravas says to Rami Barchama, but it's not okay. Matzi Amalei Bepischa Zutra, Matzi Letzuni Minach, Bepischa Rabbah, Lo Matzi Letzuni Minach. Because again, what the argument that is being provided by the other members of the Chatzir is, look, your doorway right now is this wide, whatever that number is. But and so therefore we have learned to basically handle ourselves within the Chatzir. We know basically where we could be in the Chatzir and maintain a certain level of privacy from you. Once you make the doorway any wider, so that gives you now more visual access and therefore more visual trespass into the chatzer, and for that we're saying to you, no. So it's not really a function of, that Rami Bar Chama thought it had to do with, it gives you more private property in the chatzer. No, that's not the issue. Anytime you have more private, more Hezek Re'ia. More visual access to the Chatzer, that means that it's not okay, and therefore you cannot open it up any greater. Echad lo yasenu shnayim, same thing is true with the doors. Meaning you can't go from one door to two doors. Savar, Rami Bar Chama le'emar, again, Rami Bar Chama had the same hava mina. Bar abe lo lishrei trei b'nei tarte tarte. Dekashako tamne b'chatzer. Yeah, you know, if you have a door that's four amas wide, so you can't change it to two doors of two amas wide, because again, each door gives you a separate 4x4 amas in the chatzer. But if your doorway was eight amas wide and you made into two doors of four and four, so that's fine, because that doesn't give you any more private property in the chatzer. So I'm like Rava. So again, Rava says the same correction. No, this has nothing to do with creating private property in the chatzer. It has everything to do with visual access. Hezek Re'ia. Amalei b'chad pischa metzin etzunu minach b'trelo metzin etzunu minach. Again, it's the same idea. That once you have two doors, so now that creates new angles, new visual access into the chatzer, and for that the other members of the chatzer can simply reject it out of hand. Next, aval pesach hu l'rishus rabim pesach k'neged pesach. But what you are allowed to do is open up into the rishus rabim. A Pesach and a Pesach, I'm late off sofa by Sinuam. The Gemara very succinctly gives the svara that I give back in the Mishnah. And that is that once your house faces the Rosh Hashanah, so now even though on the other side of the Rosh Hashanah is another house facing you, the argument is very simply, look, anyway, every single time you open the doorway there's people there. So it's not an issue now that my doorway on the other side of the street is directly opposite your doorway over here. We are in the next Mishnah on Samech Amad Aleph. Ein osin chalal tachas rishos harabim barin sheichanu ma'aros. Should sound familiar. We did this Mishnah a while back in the Masechta. And this was the end of the second perek of Baba Basra. And basically creating a cavern underneath the rishos harabim. And according to the Tanakhama, you're not allowed to do it. Now, even though it's structurally sound, but it's structurally sound now. Over the course of time, the pressure, the traffic that's going over the street, it's going to collapse. And so therefore, the Tanakhama says we have to not only look at the current, at its current structural integrity, but we also have to look at the future structural integrity, and you can't create a hazard for the public. Infrastructure is extraordinarily important. It is it's the backbone of the city, and so therefore you can't do anything which ultimately will compromise the integrity. Okay, I don't know how we would feel about the subway system in our major cities, but okay. In other words, but that's the basic idea. Rabbi Lazar Matir condition. I mean, yeah, that's right. That's okay. It's an excellent distinction. Rabbi Lazar Matir condition te agalam alachas tutuna avanim. Rabbi Eliezer says no. That as long as structurally it's sound, and I understand, says Rabbi Eliezer, that over the course of time, yes, the structure of it is going to be compromised, but if right now, currently, when you build it to code, you build it so that it has the integrity where it will withstand a load, right? The Gemara gives an example of the biggest load you can think about, right? It's a cow hauling stones. As long as it can withstand that load, so then you can build caverns even directly under the Rosh Hashanah. You can't allow any protrusions to go into the Rosh Hashanah, right? It's such an intuitive halacha, meaning that obviously the Rosh Hashanah is for public traffic, and anytime you put any kind of protrusion that goes into the Rosh Hashanah, it creates a hazard for the public that's traveling through the Rosh Hashanah, and therefore obviously you're not allowed to do that. Your property has to stop flush against the Rosh Hashanah. Now here's what you're allowed to do. What you're allowed to do is recess your property interior to where the property line was, and then you can make a protrusion. Okay? We'll talk more about that as we get through the Gemara. Let's say you buy a chatzer, you buy a courtyard, and it has protrusions going on to the Rosh Hashanah. So really there are two stories that could be explaining this scenario. Story number one is that the previous owner did it illegally, meaning did not recess the property interior and did not recede into his property in order to build The protrusions, but rather he did so illegally. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that no, he did everything to code. Is that he receded his property interior to his property line, and then he built the protrusions legally. So which story is the correct story? Now you bought the property. So what do we generally say? The Rashbam over here writes this, and it's an idea that we've expressed already a number of times, and that's Ta'anina Lelokeach, that when you have a buyer, and you have an argument that you can make in favor of the buyer, we will make the arguments that we can make in favor of the buyer. As long as it's a plausible argument, we will do so in favor of the buyer. So over here, we'll say that the previous owner legally receded his property, and therefore these protrusions are legit. We are starting with the Gemara on the bottom of Samach Amud Aleph, V'Rabbanan. So Zimin Demifchis V'Lavadaite. Right. Meaning we're going back to the creation of caverns and caves underneath the Rishus Rabbim. So Rabbi Eliezer says, as long as it's structurally sound, it's fine. And the Chachamim, what's their protest? Their protest is very simple. Meaning, yes, it's structurally sound right now. But ultimately what's going to happen is that over the course of time, it's going to weaken. And it's the kind of thing where it's subtle deterioration. People are not going to notice, and eventually it's going to collapse, and people are going to get hurt. So therefore, don't even get started with building any kind of cavern underneath the Rishus Rabbim. We go back to the mission now about extending protrusions into the Rishus Rabbim. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Ami, so Rabbi Ami had a protrusion from his house that went into a mavui. Now a mavui is something in between a chatzir and a Rishus Rabbim. Chatzir is a private courtyard owned by, homeowners own the chatzir. Rishus Rabbim is a public domain. A mavui, something in the middle. Right? Now, there are two types of mavuis. A mavui sasam, a mavui mafulash. A mavui that has three walls around it, a mavui that only has two walls on the two opposite sides, and basically people travel, use it as an alleyway cutting through from one street to another street. Okay. Over here, I'm just being honest. I'm not sure if it's a mavui sasum or a mavui mefulash. Either way, Rabbi Ami had a house where there was a protrusion that went into the mavui. And there was another person that had a protrusion going on to the Rishus Rabbim. We're going to skip the parentheses. Also, l'kamid Rabbi Ami amarle zil kotz. So the person was brought to Rabbi Ami, and Rabbi Ami says, look, you can't have a protrusion going into the Rishus Rabbim. So Rabbi Ami says, look, you're just going to have to cut that, whatever it is, whatever beam is going to the Rishus Rabbim, you have to cut it down. You can't have it. So Amar Lei V'Hamar Nami Islei. So the person says to Rabbi Ami, yeah, but I also happen to know that you have a protrusion going out into a mavui. Now again, the mavui is not exactly the same thing as the Rishus Rabbim, but basically you're trying to correct me, I'm looking at you. So Amar Lei, right, where the Bach inserts the two words. Amar Lei, didila mavoa mafik, b'nei mavoa machlin gabai. So Rabbi Ami says, look, there's a difference. My protrusion is going out to the mavui. Mavui is more of a private property. And I asked the other members of the mavui, and they all gave me permission to allow me to extend some sort of protrusion into the mavui. So therefore, I'm good. Didchal Rishus Rabbim mafik man machl gabach. Meanwhile, your protrusion is going out to the Rishus Rabbim. That's the public. There's no negotiation with the public. Meaning you can't ask permission from the public. Hey, is it okay? The public is an entity unto itself, and it's a non-negotiable entity. So therefore, there's nothing you could do. You're going to have to cut down your protrusion. Okay. Rabbi Yana Havalei Ilan Anotel Rishus Rabbim. Rabbi Yana had a property that went right up against the Rishus Rabbim. He had a tree, and the branches of the tree went into the Rishus Rabbim. Hava Ugavida Havalei Nami Ilan Anotel Rishus Rabbim. Now, there was another man in the community who also had a tree, started on his property, and the branches went into the Rishus Rabbim. Also, B'nei Rishus Rabbim, Hava Kama Akvei Ilavei. So the members of the Rishus HaRabim, the public, right? It was the state against this. It was a state against this person, and the public basically said to him, "Look, you're going to have to trim your tree. Your tree is going into the Rishus HaRabim." Also, the Kamad Rabbi Yanai. Now, the court case came in front of Rabbi Yanai. Now, Rabbi Yanai was presiding over the case, so he had a small problem, and that is that he also had a tree where the branches extended into the Rishus HaRabim. So Rabbi Yanai knew that the only way he was going to be able to successfully convince this guy to cut his tree is that if he himself cut his own tree. Unlike the previous case where the protrusion went into a mavi, not into the Rishus HaRabim, but over here in this case, Rav Yana's protrusion, his tree branches went into the Rishus HaRabim. So he knew what he had to do and he did it. Amar Lei, so Rav Yana says to this person, Zilein of a Salamachar. So he says to the litigant, look, do me a favor. Right now I'm really busy. I got a lot of things going on over here. The docket's full today. You'll come back tomorrow. And we'll look at your case. Now, what do you think Rabbi Yana does between today and tomorrow? You don't have to guess. The Gemara tells us. So that night, so he took out his axe, he took out his saw, and he trimmed his tree. And the next day, so now the guy goes in front of Rabbi Yana and Amalei Zil Kotz. So Rabbi Yana says, "Look, I'm really sorry. Your tree goes into the Rishus HaRabim. You need to trim your tree." So Amalei Hamar Nami Islay. So the guy knew that Rabbi Yana would say that, and the guy was waiting on that fastball. And the guy says to Rabbi Yana, "Yeah, but you also have a tree, and your branches also go into the Rishus HaRabim." Unbeknownst to the guy, Rabbi Yana trimmed the tree last night. Amalei Zil Chazi. So Rabbi Yana says to him, "Okay, you know what? I'll tell you what. Here, I give you an invitation. Go out to the street, go to my property, go take a look. And e coats the decoats the tcha. If my tree is trimmed, so then you're going to trim your tree. And e lo coats the loticoats at. And if my tree is not trimmed, so then of course your tree can and your branches can stay over the Rishus HaRabim." Okay. And the Gemara doesn't give us any more of the story. I'd like to think that, you know, they all lived happily ever after. Right? He saw that Rav Yana's tree was trimmed, and therefore he trimmed his own tree. Okay, that's a nice way to end the story. The Gemara doesn't do with that, but okay. Now, wait, just give me 1 second. So the Gemara now is bothered by a very simple question, which is, what was Rav Yana thinking? Right. Rav Yana allowed the branches of his tree to go into the Rishus HaRabim. And only because there was a case and he had to adjudicate, and he knew it was not right to have the branches go into the Rishus HaRabim, so he had to trim his trees and then he could rule. But we're talking about Rav Yana, meaning the Gemara is going to assume that he wasn't careless, and it wasn't just a thoughtless, "Oh, I forgot about the branches of my tree." So basically, the question now stands, what was Rabbi Yana thinking? So, Mikara, my sovereign, Mikara, sovereign, Nichali, Lahulav, Nevers, Shasaram, Diasvi, Betule. Ah, beautiful. So, Rabbi Yana thought, look, right, what I was doing was not making a disturbance for the Rishus HaRabim, I was actually creating a benefit. Because if I have branches of my tree, they're going to the Rishus HaRabim, create shade. And on a hot day, there's nothing better than shade. And so what I thought I was doing was providing a service for the Rishus HaRabim. But then I saw through the case I had to adjudicate that was wrong. In other words, yeah, the shade's good. But unobstructed street is much better than creating a tree and creating shade. So Shadr Katsya, so then what I did ultimately is I cut it. Valemala Zil Kosti Tchava Adar Kosti D. Gemara asked a question which we all know the answer to. Why? We all know the answer. Why didn't Rav Yana just simply say to the guy on day one, "Listen, I'll tell you what, you cut your tree down and I know, I also have a tree, I'll cut my tree down." In other words, what's right is right. You need to cut your tree down, and yes, I have a tree whose branches go into the Rishus HaRabim, I'll do the same to mine. That's the question, but we all know the answer, and the Gemara spells it out. Mishum deresh lakish ta'amris kosher shuv kosher kashot atzmecha ve'achar kach kosher acherim. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tzefanya, and that is, first gather yourself in, and then tell other people to gather in. You correct yourself, only after you're corrected, then you have the ability to reprimand and to rebuke other people for not doing the same thing. But if you are guilty of something, you're never in a position to then go ahead and chastise and rebuke other people for doing the same thing that you're doing, even though you're right. even though what you're saying is right, but you're just simply not in a position to rebuke others if you're guilty of the same thing. Danny.
I was thinking
about your question. Danny was asking the question about how high were these branches going up. In other words, presumably, right, if the branches were high, right, you drive down the streets over here, so we have trees where they trim it to the point where they know no car is going to, you know, is going to run into it. So I understand back then they were talking about people and traffic. I don't know. Right? All right.
If Rabbi Yannai was having this to provide shade for the public,
right,
to begin with, so does he have the right to cut it when it's providing the shade for the public?
So the answer, it sounds like from the Gemara that unobstructed traffic is better than shade. That's right. That seems to be the Gemara's conclusion. Yeah, the Gemara asked a question, which is so it's so good. What we learned is that if you want to create some sort of protrusion and your house abuts a Rishus Rabim, so for starters, you can't. But what you can do is that you could recede into your property and then bring the protrusion out to your original property line. That you're allowed to do. But ask the Gemara the following. Let's say you recede your property, but you don't immediately create the protrusion. And now at a later point in time, can you, yes or no? That's a good question. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kanas Motzi, Reish Lakish Amar Kanas Ena Motzi. So it's a machlokus between the brother-in-laws of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And Rabbi Yochanan says you may, and Reish Lakish says you may not. Amalei Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Techlif Azbrach Allah Hotzi Kulam Alo Pligi De Motzi. So Rabbi Yaakov says to Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Techlifa, look, I know there's a machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, but let me explain to you. That if you if when you receded you did so for the purposes of bringing out some sort of beam and protruding it to your original property line, so you may do so, and nobody's arguing otherwise. Ki pligi lahachzir ketalim lemkamam. So, but really, what they're arguing is as follows: once you've receded the property, so can you now, at a future time, bring the property back to the original property line? V'ibcha itma. And as far as the positions of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, actually, their positions are reversed. Rav Yochanan amar ino machzir, Reish Lakish amar machzir. So Rav Yochanan says you cannot bring your wall back to the original property line. Why not? So this is a line that we've quoted a number of times throughout Shas. I just did it in high school with the boys in Baba Kama. The Gemara says, Rav Yochanan amar ino machzir. So Rav Yochanan says, no, you're not going to be chozer. You cannot bring the wall back to the original spot. Why? Mishum de Rav Yehuda, dam Rav Yehuda. Meitzer shechzuka bo rabim, asala kalkalo. Because once the public have assumed a path, that now is public path, and nobody can ever claim it back. So once you recess the walls in, according to Rav Yochanan, who is based on the sheet of Rav Yehuda, although quite frankly Rav Yehuda comes after Rav Yochanan, but still, the point is, it's only one generation later. But still, the point is the same. In other words, they both subscribe to that idea that once the public has now gained access to a particular path, that's public pathway, and therefore it can never be taken back again.
Reish Lakish. Public domain becomes, how did private domain become public?
Yeah, because you gave it, you yielded. You gave it up. In other words, your house abutted a Rishus Rabim. So what they did basically is that, look, once you create a vacuum, so then they're going to use it as part of the street. Okay. That's the public's chazaka.
For 3 years also?
Unclear. It's a good question. It's unclear. It sounds like from the Gemara, immediate. That's what it sounds like. I don't... Okay, your question is very good. I don't know. Reish Lakish amar machzer hani milechad aleka ravcha. Hacha ha'ika ravcha. And Reish Lakish will argue, look, I'm not disputing Rav Yehuda. When a public gains access to a pathway, that public pathway, and you can't take it away from the public once again. But over here, they already have a Rishus HaRabim. The Rishus HaRabim is already very wide. A Rishus HaRabim, by definition, is 16 amas wide. So they already have a public road. And now what are you saying? Well, they're going to get more public road. Reish Lakish's argument is they don't need more. They already have the street wide enough that handles the public traffic. And so therefore, even though I reseeded my house and I reseeded my wall, Reish Lakish will tell you, I could put it back to where it was. I am not taking away from the public. The public already has their street. Okay. Laka Chatzer. We're in the middle of Samech Hamed Beis at the two dots. Laka Chatzer. You buy a house. And the house of Batzer Rishos Rabbim, and it has protrusions. So again, we're going to argue on behalf of the buyer. And we're going to say on behalf of the buyer, it was done legally, not illegally. I'm Ravuna Naflachos Rabbonosa. So Ravuna is of the opinion that if the house were to fall, so you can build it the way it was originally built. In other words, not only are we going to say that as is, we're going to assume that it was done legally, but even if it collapsed, and now you have to build it anew. So building it anew, you could make the argument, look, we'll keep it as is. But now that you're building anew and we know where the house wall was, maybe we're going to argue, you can't make a protrusion now into the Rishos HaRabim. So Rav Huna says, no. Even building anew, we're going to assume like it was originally. Basically, the Gemara challenge is based on the Braisa. One is not allowed to put a plaster or a mural or anything decorative on your house bezman hazeh. Now, this is an issue not relevant to Mecca Chomemka buying and selling, but this is an issue of Zechel and Mikdash. If you take a look at the Rashbam over here, he writes the Rashbam is a higher up where we are in the Gemara. Ein Mesaidin, based by Mishom, Aval Beis HaMikdash. We have to mourn over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, to put a nice white plaster over the walls of our house, so that we're not allowed to do. Ve'ein mechayrin tsuros shetzar besid, some sort of decorative plastering. Ve'yesh mefarshim, the Rashbam writes that haynu nami siyud ela shakir lavan yoser, or it's a very white plaster. Either way, or colored, so the Braisa starts off by saying that you're not allowed to plaster it because we have to remember and commemorate Chorban Beis Hamikdash. Now let's say you buy a house and the house was plastered beautifully, so you don't have to undo it. Nafla, but once the house falls down, Einu Chozer Ubona Asa. But once the house falls down, and to rebuild it and to plaster like it was originally, you don't have the right to do so. Why? Because you have to remember Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Now, as the Gemara is about to point out in the next two words, it's not such a kasha. Because what we're really doing is we're trying to compare commercial activity, Mecca Chomemkar, to Zeichel LeChorban. Those are two different issues. As the Gemara now will succinctly point out in the next two words, Isura Shani. Well, of course that's different. Meaning, what was the Gemara's thought when it comes to the Chorban, the Zeichel HaChorban? The Gemara's thought was, well, if you buy the house, so and they, for whatever reason, the previous owner wasn't worried about Zeichel HaChorban, well, you don't have to worry about it as well. No, that's not true.
What if I'm a goy,
maybe? Maybe, right. In other words, there's a number of explanations of what could have happened over here. Tosfos gives a very interesting explanation. You bought it from a goy. Tosfos doesn't say that, but I like that explanation. You bought it from a goy, or Tosfos says it could be that the house was built before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed.
Right.
Okay. Nowadays, that's of course unlikely, if not impossible. But okay, but in other words, that's a possibility. So in other words, over there, so it could be that the house was plastered beautifully and it was done so legitimately. But over here, however, when we're talking about the building of a house in terms of commercial and your house abuts the Rishos HaRabim, so it's different. It's a whole different scenario. And there we have the principle of Tarnin and Lokech that we're going to make an argument on behalf of Lokech that everything was done up to code, legally. And if the previous owner had a right to protrude, so you also have the right to make protrusions. But over here, in terms of Zechel HaChorban, once you're building a house, you must commemorate the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, we have to remember about the Chorban, and so therefore you can't plaster the walls super white. And so now what this is going to do is it's going to segue us through the rest of today's daf, and this is it. Meaning this is the Gemara in Shas that describes how the things have to be done Zeichel HaChorban to remind us of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Tana Rabbanan. First wide line on the Amud. Lo yisod adam es beis ha-besid. Your person cannot plaster their house. Now, plastering of the house, again, it's for us, it's not, our houses aren't made exactly this manner. In other words, but they basically they build stone houses and they put a glossy white plaster on top of the stones. So the Gemara says you shouldn't do that. V'imire bo'cholo teva mutter. However, if what you do is you mix in something to the plaster so it's not white, so then it would be fine. And the way the Rashbam describes it, chol oteven, makeo libuno. Basically, what it does is it dulls the white. In other words, the issue is that if it's a bright white, so then that looks joyful, it looks, you know, it looks new, looks exciting. So basically, we want gray, right? If I'm not giving an absolute color, I'm just simply, you know, communicating the idea. In other words, we want gray because we don't want the mood to be, oh, everything's great. It's not. We don't have a base of Mikdash. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ir Bechol HaRizeh Tachsid V'Asur. Tevin Mutar. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you mix sand into it, it actually creates even a glossier white, and therefore that you're not allowed to do. But if you mix in Tevin, if you mix in straw, so that dulls the white, and therefore it's going to be okay. Okay, the Brisa sounds like it's having a machlokus and metzius. Okay, I don't know. Tana Rabbanan. When the second base of Mikdash was destroyed, it's interesting the Gemara here focuses on Churban Bayis Sheni, not Churban Bayis Rishon. Now, as far as the simple explanation goes, why the Gemara is focusing on Churban Bayis Sheni is because, first of all, that's the one we're living in currently. Okay. But also, on top of that, we could also point out that even after Churban Bayis Rishon, they knew there was going to be a very short galus. The Navi told them that they were only going to be in galus for 70 years. So there, they didn't have the kind of open-ended question of when are we going to build the next base of Mikdash. After Churban Bayis Sheni, so, and now we could say this with the historical perspective, we're now almost 2,000 years after Churban Bayis Sheni, like it's literally an open-ended question. We don't know when we're going to build the next Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, we need constant reminders that we're without Beis HaMikdash. So, Mi Kishachar Beis Bishniyah, Rabu Purshim Bishro, Shalola Chobas Vishalola Shos Yayin. So many people took it upon themselves not to eat meat, not to drink wine. Ni Tapalem Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua tries to basically tell them, look, morning is good, morning is right. But too much mourning, no. And an abstention from meat and wine, that's too much. Amalem bini, or banai. Mimnei ma'i atem ochlem basar vein atem shosin yayin. Let's try to understand this. Why are you abstaining from meat and wine? Amalo nechel basar shemimena makrim agabe mizbech v'achshav batel. Nisha yayin shemenaschin agabe mizbech v'achshav batel. Their response is, look, we don't have a base of Mikdash, right? Karbanos went on the base of Mikdash. Meat went on the base of Mikdash. And now, no base of Mikdash. And we're going to eat meat? It's rude. And Nisa Chayayin on the base of Mikdash. And now there's no base of Mikdash. And now you want us to drink wine? Amalem imkein lechem lo nechal. So Rabbi Yehoshua says, look. In other words, if that's your argument, so if you take your argument to its logical conclusion, it's going to be an absurdity. So you shouldn't be eating bread now, because shekvar bidlo menachos, because we don't have a base of mikdash, we don't have a mizbeach, and no mincha is being offered. Mincha is flour, so you shouldn't be eating bread. Efshar beperos, what about fruit? Beperos lo nechos, shekvar bidlo bikurim. In other words, there's no bikurim now, so you're not going to eat fruit. Efshar beperos acherim, what about any fruit that's not one of the shivas aminim? Mayim lo nishta, shekvar bidlo nesach hamayim. And water, you can't drink water, because we don't have a mizbeach, and nesach hamayim at sukkos. Shatko. So at that point, they realize that Rabbi Yehoshua was right, that really their argument can turn into a logical absurdity. Fine. So, Amalem bini bova amalechem shaloi tabel kol ikar yefshar. Now, what do you want me to tell you? Not to mourn? That's also ridiculous. Shekvar nigzera gzera li tabel yosemidai yefshar. But to mourn too much? That's also no good. Shein goes in gzera let sibalim ken rava sibarichol naamod ba. Dichsev bemeira tem neerim v'osi atem kovim. Hagoy kulo. The Gemara quotes the pasuk of Malachim. And the malachim, and the idea is that the only way you can enact a gzera is only if the majority of the community can accept it. But if it's too onerous, so then the chachamim do not have a mandate to make such a gzera. So the gemara says, so look, we have to come up to some sort of compromise position. Basically, plaster your house, leave over a little bit unplastered. Amrav Yosef, Amal Alama, so a square Amma, Amrav Chista, can I get a Pesach? And it should be opposite the Pesach. Okay? It is not, the Gemara is very clear that one should leave a portion of its house unplastered. It's not as done, I would say, as the Gemara makes it say, as it is. There are post-Gim in the last 200 years who, justified, rationalized why we're not as knowing. But anyway, but the Gemara says it very clearly. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. Osa Adam Kol Tzar Chisud HaMashar Davar Mua. Again, in terms of making a meal, so again, we want to try to create some sort of compromise position. So make the meal, leave over something. So Mayi Amara Papa Kasa Daharsana, the fish. Okay. Osa Isha Kol Tzar Chisud HaMashar Davar Mua. A woman should adorn herself and put on makeup and make herself look good. Mayi, but leave over something. Mayi Amara Bas Sada. Removing the hair from the temples, meaning basically cosmetically do everything, but just to leave a little bit over. My arosh simchasi. What goes right to the end of the pasuk? I'm Rav Yisrael. The efer mikla shabarosh chasanim. The efer mikla, that's the ashes that are put on the chasan. Okay, my masada kedushin put ashes on my forehead. Right where the tefillin goes, so you should put ashes there on the forehead. Shenem lashum la evle tzion lases lamper tachas efer. Right, the crown there should be ashes. The chol metabel yishlaim zochav v'ra b'simchas. Anyone who properly commemorates and mourns the loss of Yishlaim will be zochav to see it. Bil shenem simchas Yishlaim. Tanya Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha miyom shachar beis hamikdash dinu shenigzar latzmena shalalechol baser v'lo l'shos yayin. Right, the again that visceral reaction of once the beis hamikdash is destroyed, no meat, no wine. Elayin goes gzar latzibalim ken rovet zibur yacholim la'amod ba. However, again, it's just too onerous. And when the Romans got also too oppressive, ukashos umavatal mimena Torah umitzos ve'im aneches osan likanas le'shvua haben, and they didn't allow us to do shvua haben. The Amrila li Yeshua haben. Now that could either be talking about the Bris Milah, could be talking about maybe the minhag of Shalom Zachar. Either way, who should nixal shminishol alisa yishol ha'lebanim. So again, in theory, the proper response was, okay, we're not going to get married. Okay, we're not going to have children. However, Nimsa Zar Shal Avram Avinu Kala. But of course, that will be the extermination of the Jewish people. And that's an absurd conclusion. May love. Ela Hanachlam Yisrael Mutav Shishogim Vayu Mezidim. So what basically do you have to say? You have to say is, look, we try, we'll do. And in other words, it may not work, but... Okay, but that's our job is just simply to try, even though logically it may not work out. Hadron Lechezka Sabatin, Ad Khan, that's the end of the third parak of the Masechta. Tomorrow, Yitz Hashem, we start the fourth parak of Baba Basra.